Good afternoon. My name is Jim Atwood, and as president of the Harvard Law School Forum, I'd like to welcome you all to this, a very special afternoon for us. Slightly experimental, special nonetheless. Now please welcome Steve McKeever, the Forum's outgoing Vice President for Programming, who will introduce this afternoon's most distinguished guest.
Thank you. When a word first started spreading around the forum that I was going to be doing the introduction today, there was a little bit of concern among the forum members. Basically, for quite some time, I've been saying that if we were able to get Stevie Wonder to come and speak at the forum, that a proper introduction would take at least an hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. Since you've all stayed outside for so long, I'm not going to have to put you through that. But it is pretty hard to briefly capsulize the life, career, and accomplishments of someone who's most commonly called a genius and whose music and messages touched millions throughout the world. As most of you probably know, Mr. Wonder first came to the public eye at the ripe old age of 12 with his number one hit, Fingertips. Since then, he's had 23 top 10 hits and well over a dozen top 40 singles. He's a most prolific writer, creating masterpieces in pop to rock, reggae and ballads, blues, and even a category the critics now call Stevie Wonder's own art pop. I would have to have a book about the size of New York. I would have to have a book about the size of New York phone directory to list all his awards, accolades, and accomplishments. Among them are like 14 Grammy Awards, including 3 Album of the Year Awards for Inner Visions, Fulfilling This First Finale, and Songs in the Key of Life. He's been inducted in the Songwriters Hall of Fame and been in the public eye with this extraordinary talent for about 23 years. But as well as being in the public eye for 23 years, he's also had a firm grasp on the public's ear. And with this grasp, he's been able to use this unique position to try to elevate our level of political and social awareness. For example, he's going to go down in history now as a major catalyst behind the drive to make Martin Luther King's birthday a national holiday. He organized 2 very successful marches on Washington and spent an incredible amount of time and effort lobbying for the passage of this bill, which makes this achievement necessary of a special recognition, is that he was instrumental in persuading a conservative administration originally adamantly opposed to the idea of giving Martin Luther King the recognition that he deserved. Like I said, I could talk for hours and hours about Stevie Wonder, but I think that his vision can be most aptly summed up in his own words. When in a concert, mention of Jesse Helms' name, the crowd started booing, and Stevie Wonder responded to that booing by saying, "For every minute that you hate, you've wasted 1 minute God has given you to love." Let's bring on Stevie Wonder.
Thank you. Y'all can sing that.
Let's join together as one and have some fun. Let's join together as one and have some fun. Let's join together as one and have some fun. And there'll be fun for everyone.
Sing it one time. Are you messing up?
Let's join together.
Okay, I'll do it one more time. Well, first of all, clap your hands. Well, before you clap your hands, listen to the words. Make sure you do it. Exactly. But do you like the groove? Do you like the whole groove? Do you like it?
Let's join together as one and have some fun. Let's join together as one and have some fun. Let's join together as one and have some fun, and there'll be fun for everyone.
Sing it. All right.
Let's join together as one and have some fun, and there'll be fun for everyone.
One more time.
Let's join together. Let's join together as one and have some fun, and there'll be fun for everyone.
Sing it again. Say it again now.
And there'll be fun for everyone.
Now I've got your attention. The truth of the matter is, whether it be music or law, creating a new discovery in medicine, or studying for an exam, the ultimate test, the real bottom line, is getting the attention. You must get the attention of those you want to be interested. No matter how long you study or how hard, the way to reach the benefits is to get the attention of the professor who has hundreds of exams, the recruiter who has hundreds of applicants, the court that has hundreds of briefs, or the public you want to buy your album. Regardless, you've got to get the attention. Then hopefully, you'll get others' attention by word of mouth, media, etc. Then you're on your way. However, living in a competitive but also democratic society, there will be others who feel that they have something to say, do, create, sing, or whatever. They too want attention, and they have the right to pursuit, whether they agree or disagree with you. So now, we're in a society in pursuit of the attention, in competition with forces competing with you and against you. Not only for individual attention, but attention of the majority. Bad? No, not bad. Good. We've witnessed some incredible discoveries as a result of this process. We've produced great people in many positions. They've gotten our attention. Now, that's not all. After you get our attention, then you've got to follow through. Nothing is more disappointing than those great people who have gotten the attention but have not used their ability to go to a better place. And you've heard of those one-hit artists. They'll have the hottest song of the summer, but then you never hear from them again. It happens in every profession, but I won't name names. I would never take advantage of my position by becoming opinionated in such sensitive a subject. But you know of the personalities I speak of. But the best example really is romance, something that we can all relate to. Check this out. So you meet this person. Boy, are they fine, kind, sensitive, loving, witty, charming, intelligent. They've got everything going for them. But then the next time you meet them, it's just not the same. They're not so charming this time. Their wit has become sarcasm. Well, they had your attention. But they did not take it to a better place. So how many times... So, how many times in your profession have we had the attention but did not use it to the best of our ability? Come on, we're family today, let's talk. Often I speak of artists in the media as being in the same family, and we are. But you people in the law, you're part of the family too. We're all communicators, communicating to or for someone in a language that is special to us, that will hopefully put the people in a better place. But you know, some of us have abused these opportunities. We've had the attention and the ability and the authority, the music authority for me, the legal authority for you, and some have not opened the door that will make it easier for all of us. We haven't opened the door because we're afraid that next person that might take our attention or position. We all know we're only as significant as our age allows us, as our peers relate to us, as we transcend generations, but time is the ultimate equalizer. So, in our competitive fear, we let the everyday people find out the best way they can, or we let them settle for second best or nothing at all because we're too great or too scared to share the attention. In my career, I've learned the giving of your services freely gives you a great return on your investment. Not just financially, but morally, it supplements my personal integrity. It helps me measure myself, how I was and where I am, and how I handle the same situation as I would when I didn't have the attention. Like sharing tickets to my concert. I feel good that I can give tickets to a family of 5 children when their grocery cart will be the same as those 5 tickets. I want to always feel the need to share that, and hopefully the young person will have the incentive to dream. To dream to be a musician, a lawyer, or a doctor. As a lawyer, you'll need to share your knowledge with those who never have the economic opportunity to hire a Harvard lawyer, or any lawyer. There are people who are victimized because of their ignorance of the law every single day. They become homeless, jobless, helpless, and sometimes incarcerated You will need to give your services so that you can stay in touch with those who keep you going. Without people, there are no laws. No laws, no lawyers. That's why you have to stay connected to complete the circle. As a doctor, there are poor people who are sick. In the United States, people die from lack of medical care. Medical care that is so easy for you, but so inaccessible for many. Don't you know that machines don't get sick, and people are your greatest commodity? Stay connected and complete the circle. Get back to the basics, because so many people only see us in a medium that is almost intangible. Television. It's so removed, it's so hard to create enough tangible energy for people to believe that they can do it themselves. We are removed from each other. The more successful we become, the more difficult it is to relate one-on-one. And that is our greatest, strongest communication. And yet people are our greatest asset. We reap the benefits of our success from individuals supporting us. We live off of their energy, survive off what they give us. We must never forget that. Therefore, we must complete the circle. We must sing songs that tell of what is happening. We must sing of how to change things. If it is law, use your experiences for a better understanding of what is right. Use your attention to change the law for a better place. Complete the circle. Speak out against the wrong. Remember, without the opportunity, the attention, and the use of your ability, God created us all equal, and we must learn to relate to each other. Okay, Harvard. You're going to get the attention, okay? Okay? But will you have the courage to share your experience? Will you speak out in those affluent crowds? You feel that? You like that, huh? Will you share the attention to make this a better place? If you do, then success won't be such a mystery. And children can have dreams just like you. And we'll learn to share because we won't be afraid of competition, and the world will be closer. We'll reach for collective unity and harmony, and we'll join together as one and have some fun. And then there will be. So, let's join together as one and have some fun. Let's join together as one and have some fun. Let's join together as one and have some fun. And there'll be fun for everyone. Can you sing it? Let's join together as one and have some fun. And there'll be fun for everyone. Okay. I'm glad I can play drums. Whoops. I just got to performing this last, well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Detroit at the Sonic Temple, and I broke my throat. You don't say throat. Now say throat. But I want to share a couple things with you all right quick. I want to see if y'all still paying attention. So first of all, I want the men to sing this note. Just say, you! Okay? Now. Sound weak? Men sound weak. Don't think it's so cool that you can't say, you! gotta practice that voice. So we can start practicing it all. You'll be able to say it loud, straight out. Okay? Try it again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Now, the ladies, this is your part.
This is Milton, my brother. What's happening, Milton?
Milton graduated from Northridge University in California. And I made it to his graduation. Well, it was after kind of the after party, kind of like, you know. Because I was trying to drive then, I got lost, you know. I'd like to do one other song, and my reason for doing this here today is because I feel that, number one, and most importantly, you can relate to the song, because you will have those moments, and you have had those moments. And hopefully this moment will be one of those moments too, that when you look back upon that, this moment, you will get sick. No. No, you will... I've tried not to say too many things, because I don't want to be like Eddie Murphy, you know. Imagine Eddie Murphy's singing, huh? He wants to be a singer. Well, we got some for him, buddy. I mean, you know, you can make people laugh anytime, but come on, you want to sing? We got some for you, Eddie. If you make me mad, I'll stick Michael Jackson on you. And we know who will win. No, kidding. But this song, hopefully, when you hear it or when you think about it, it will also make you light up the candles in your heart for this moment. The song is entitled Lighting Up the Candles, and the first time I did this song was for Marvin. Who is a perfect example of a man who took you from a song such as A Stubborn Kind of Fellow to a song and an album that I think is one of the greatest works in the history of our times, the Ecology of What's Going On album that he did. Because not only did it relate to what was happening back then, in the early 70s. But it's something that that we're experiencing now and will be experiencing, will be going on, unfortunately, for a long time. But you here, and myself, and others, as I spoke of earlier, as being communicators, we can change that by what we do, by how we interact with the people and how we communicate our song of law, our song of medicine, our song of inventions. We're creating a better, not just America, but a better world. Candle light.
up our love, lighting up the candle, lighting up our love, we're lighting up the candles, lighting up our love, lighting up the candles to what used to be. Memories in moments of love. Happy times and bad times, oh, seem wonderful when you have a toast to moments of love. Wishing you the best, like the happiness in moments of love. For lighting up a candle, spark memories, helping us to the need for what was, helping us to see those moments of love. So we're lighting up the candles, lighting up our love.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. We have a couple of awards. Let me first introduce Sandra Ruffin from the Harvard Black Law Students Association.
Wow. I'm standing here next to Stevie Wonder. All right. And this is a great moment for me, and I hope a great moment for BALSA through me. And I want to tell you why. Because I know that this is one of the most evolved spirits that is walking the planet today. Harvard Law School, how do I know that? What real evidence do I have? Well, let me say this. that although there may be many pictures that hang in Langdell that talk about the laws that govern the states and the nations, this brother speaks to the laws that governs universes and worlds, laws that bring worlds into being and destroy them. What real evidence do I have? Who else knows that a seed's a star? A star, a seed. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. How many others tell us? How many others sing to us and tell us to try Jah love? And do you know what Jah love is? Jah love is one love. That there is the possibility that we can come together as one people, evolve ourselves out of love into love, recreating, regenerating, loving and growing, evolving. Now, I have a special thing that Stevie has done for Harvard Black law students. And I'm going to share it with you. Check it out. Nikulela ikusasa. Niyakula notando. Niyakula neilinyi langa utando luyobusa. Jikelele kulamklaba way too. You understand me? Stevie, on behalf of the Harvard Black Law students, we present this award to Stevelyn Morris for your unyielding commitment to the cultural and political development of the world community. Amandla. Amandla is the Zulu word that means power to the people, brothers and sisters. Power to the people, power to love and unity in the world today. Thank you, Stevie.
I'm in love.
Oh, so am I.
I am.
I love.
Wow, students. And the funny thing about it, I never knew I was black. That's beautiful. Am I supposed to say something? Because I don't know what to say.
You got another one coming up.
Okay.
We do have one more here. Please. Please welcome Professor Alan Counter, Director of the Harvard Foundation.
Recently, the Reverend Martin Luther King Sr. visited Harvard as guest of the Harvard Foundation to commemorate the birthday of his son, Martin Luther King Jr. At the time of his visit, he expressed to me the deep appreciation the King family feels for the special efforts of Mr. Stevie Wonder toward creating a Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. His efforts were indeed very special. He led marches on Washington. He expressed the feelings of an entire nation. And we do indeed have a Martin Luther King Jr. holiday today. We cannot. We cannot minimize the contributions of Mr. Stevie Wonder. I would also like to add that several years ago in the People's Republic of China, the most asked about American as I traveled through the back country and everywhere was Mr. Stevie Wonder. His music does indeed transcend cultures. The young people, the older people wanted to know about him. And indeed, in talking with a group of Russian scientists, we happened to turn the radio station to one of Stevie Wonder's records, and I assure you that it became not a scientific meeting, but a very rejoicing moment of Russian scientists. I would like to present this award to Mr. Stevie Wonder. It comes from Harvard University. It reads, Harvard University, the President and Fellows of Harvard College, through the Harvard Foundation, present this certificate to Mr. Stevie Wonder to mark his visit to the university and to recognize his notable contributions to Afro-American culture and American music. Given at Cambridge, Massachusetts in the year of our Lord, 1984, and of Harvard College, the 384th. Signed, President Derek Bach, and Director of the Harvard Foundation, as Alan Counter. Thank you, Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Well, he's not representing the corporation. This is from the foundation, which is named from third world students. So I'm the president signed it for you. So it comes to the Harvard Foundation third world students.
This is great. This is freaking great. I don't have any more really to say except for, I guess, two words. And that goes to everyone here today. Please. Thank you.
Over to the left. One step to the left. Okay, there's another one. Yeah. There's another one. Oh, no. You just don't let you hold it.
There you go. Yeah.
I should do like Eddie talks about under the Grammys, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Something else, honestly.
Well, I hope. You know. I don't know, this is great. If I should get another Grammy, I'm gonna go up and just say, thank you. But I just thought of something, you know. I don't think I've ever really seen it. I mean, I know he's received some Grammys, but he doesn't really say anything. And oftentimes he's not even there to, you know, they do it in the pre-telecast. And so you don't know how much he talks. Believe me, he takes up the whole time of the whole award ceremonies talking. I want to thank my mother. I want to thank my father. This is great.
Why don't we want to start with Q&A now? Okay, I think we're about ready to start the question and answer period now, after a brief interlude. As I mentioned before, we have two microphones on the floor. There'll be two forum members at each microphone, and we'll take an alternate order. We shall start at the right side here.
Please make your questions very brief. We only have a few more minutes left. Hello, Stevie? Hi, Stevie. I'm Wendell Wright. I heard that a lot of people talk about all your contributions and everything like that, but there was one thing that was left out, and that was that I feel that I'm a student here at Harvard Law School. I am here partially because of the inspiration that I drew from your music throughout the years. And I just want to tell you that,
because I think that there are a lot of people in this audience here that are here specifically because of you and your contributions and everything like that. And I just want to bring that out. I was born and raised in Harlem. I saw you at the Apollo Theater when I was really young. It just stuck with me so much that I just felt a charge, I guess, that I just have yet to work off. I just want to tell you that. And my only regret is that I'm so close and I yet don't have the opportunity to shake your hand and to actually thank you personally.
Thank you.
Over there? Yes.
You ready?
Question over there.
I'll shake your hand.
Yes, Stevie, I realize that there are constitutional limits on the age, but maybe in 1988, we've got a few people here are starting a Wonder for President committee, and we're just wondering, we just want to get a sneak preview. If you were elected, what would be your first official act as president?
I didn't hear the last thing, the last part of your question.
What would be your first official act if elected president?
Handgun control. I know that's a very hot subject, but I think, unfortunately, for us to live in a time and space, a society where we feel that we have to have a gun to defend ourselves from others that have guns, there's got to be something done about that. It really is frightening. And this is not just based on the recent death of Marvin Gaye, but there have been many people, many family members that we know nothing about that get into disputes, and because of it being so easy to get to, in that moment of anger, it's used regretfully. There are many things that, first of all, I don't want to be a president, but there are many things that are equally as important as we all know. What would you do?
Over here on the right.
Sorry. What would he do? I wanted to know. He's gone.
Just once. Can we figure out what we keep doing wrong? While the good times never last for very long, where are we going wrong?
This is a part A, B, and C situation here. Part A, thank you for 23 years. Like everybody else in here, I cannot thank you enough. You were probably, I'm a musician myself. At least I hope you think I'm a musician.
And sound pretty good there.
Yeah, you were one of the probably 10 people who I studied diligently and taught me how to throw down. The other question is, what kind of synthesizer is that?
It's called a DX7.
I'll get one tomorrow. And number three, will you be in town long enough that it would be in any way possible to meet with you?
Okay, unfortunately, I am a Pistons fan. And I mean, nothing against the Celtics, nothing against Boston. It's cool. But, you know,
it's all right.
I was raised up in Detroit.
Yeah, well, I was born in New York, and I'm kind of rooting for the Knicks, and you missed a hell of a finish Tuesday night, man. You left the
you put
left
your money down, brother.
All right. I'll meet you after this discussion, and we'll talk about a small wager, brother, man.
Well, I want them to win. I'll just tell you straight out. I mean, I lived in New York for a while, too, but I'm going to go back to the game if I can. If not, are they going to show it on television?
Yeah, it's on ESPN.
I'll watch it on TV if I don't get back.
one. I just wanted to tell you that I liked all your songs.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wonder. Not everybody in this audience is a law student. I think there are a lot of musicians in this audience. And for the past 5 years since I graduated from Radcliffe, I've been a professional singer in various groups in the Boston area, and I've also taken various day jobs to support myself. Right now I'm a secretary at Harvard Law School, and I'm getting a little discouraged. And I was wondering if you have any words of faith and encouragement for the musicians and the other creative people in your audience today who are struggling to make a living with our talents and make our dreams a reality.
The world is always looking for new talent. We are always inspired by someone as we come up, and it is only important and reasonable for them that are inspired to hopefully get an opportunity to express their musical ability, vocal ability. And if any of you want to get tapes to me or whatever, it's cool. I guess I can, Steve, I guess I can see you. You can maybe direct the tapes to Teresa or whatever, and we can hook it up.
Because I'm going to become president of a major.
No, I actually have a label now. And the first record we put out on the label was The Crown by Gary Bird. And the label is One Direction. That's the name of the label. And the concept of the label, if I can do some promotion here.
Where should I, how should I try to get in touch with you? professionally.
No. Well, Steve.
Steve?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Steve will work that out. Steve is my... my personal manager, personal friend of mine.
Can you please make the questions briefly, because we've just got a few minutes.
This is a little question. Hi, Stevie.
Hi.
I like what you were saying about using the attention to get to a better place. When you had maybe some not very happy moments, and maybe things weren't working out for you, What did you think of? What kept you going?
Well, I think first of all, my belief in the Creator, my belief in the Creator. And that no problem today is so difficult that it would make me want to not see tomorrow. And I think that a lot of times we, because of peer pressure and because of just thinking that we just gotta be the best, opposed to doing the best that we can, we think, I've gotta be the best, I've gotta be better than this person and better than that. I mean, you go crazy thinking about that. There's nothing wrong. I know in a part of my show, I talk about the time that I tell the people about how I thank them for saving my job, and they laugh, and I say, well, I'll explain it to you. And I was telling them about 1963 having Fingertips, and it being a very, very big record with the number one and the whole thing. I was little Stevie Wonder, had all kind of little candy bars and girlfriends and all that stuff. And it was great, but by 1964, the middle of 64, Stevie Wonder Mania was like over with. It was like flop, you know, nothing was happening. And there was a gentleman at Motown, as a matter of fact, was in charge of the A&R department, and he said that he wanted, there were certain artists that wanted it happening, and Motown wanted to kind of cut some of the people back and let some of the artists go. That one hit artist that I was talking about earlier. And so he said to the producers to talk about, you know, let them know the ones that they thought we should let go. And one guy jumped up and says, I know one cat in particular. He's a Stevie Wonder cat, you know. He said, the guy's getting taller, his voice is changing, he's wearing clothes and all. But the point is, it really got crucial. And it was because of my just believing that things would work out, but not really being so serious about trying to make it, but really wanting to make music, wanting to be creative and letting it flow, that we came up with Uptight. And Uptight went to number two. It didn't go to number one, but it sure did save my job.
Thank you.
We only have time now for two more brief questions.
Come on, give them three more. Come on, three. Three, you know, three and you're out. Come on.
Hi, this is Sharon, and I'm Leah. I'm from Detroit.
Hi, how are you?
I just wanted to say hi. And Sharon wants to ask you something on behalf of both of us.
Hi, Stevie. Welcome to Harvard.
Thank you. How are you?
We're members of a singing group on campus, the Kumba Singers. And we're wondering if you'd accept a little present from us. It's a button, our group button. And Kumba, if you all don't know, is Swahili. It means creativity, so I thought it would be very appropriate for you. So would you mind taking the button?
I got it.
Okay, and also just one brief question. The whole issue of South Africa and the apartheid regime, what's going on there, and the present boycott, I should say, by the music, or several artists in the music industry, is an issue that's very important these days, I think. And I was wondering, as a very important person in the music business, and as someone, I'm sure, who has a lot of insights into what goes on, and maybe you have some contacts with people who struggle with that issue of whether to play there or not, what do you think of the whole issue of musicians boycotting playing in South Africa? And as members of the record-buying public who also disagree with what the apartheid regime represents, how do you feel about that whole issue, and what do you suggest to us who would like to protest what's going on there as far as maybe boycotting musicians? How do you feel about that whole issue?
Well, I myself personally will not perform in South Africa. Because I myself personally will not, and there are others that will not. But I understand the other side, because there are those that feel that by them going there to perform, they at least allow people, even though in a segregated situation, to see them, to express the music. I don't agree. I basically, myself personally, feel that until apartheid is done away with completely, and until we, in our own way, jointly make a statement as Americans, there's no way that it can really make a major impact. So it's a responsibility that we all have. I think as American citizens of all colors and cultures here, we know what racism can do, and we know the scars that it has left. And in South Africa, the scars that it is leaving. Anyone who feels that they are better than someone because of the color of their skin is sick, whether they be black or white.
This is the last
Thank you, Stevie, for being here and sharing these moments with us. Back in 1977, I was one of three lucky people to sit in at the Sunset Gower Studios on a private recording session you had. And at that time, I gave you a necklace, which my sister made for you. I don't know if you remember that, but it was a very special moment. And my sister, Vicky, is here right now, and it would mean a great deal if she could come up and give you a letter, which we will have sent to you in Braille, but Perkins Institute for the Blind was closed this week. And if she could come up and give you that letter, it would be very special.
You believe in making people very happy, which you do by your music. And if you don't want to see my heart completely broken, you will let me come up on stage and give you this letter. Do I do?
So you want me to... She wants me to sing Do I Do?
Cheers, all my life. I've got to see you so many times at the Opera House, and I saw you and I was ushering, but I was trying so I couldn't see. Here's a letter for you.
Thank you.
To hug you and tell you that you are the greatest thing in the world, and that I love your music. You're the best. You make me very happy.
Okay, listen. I know this is the last question, but I gotta say this. I'm gonna have to reveal the truth.
You don't remember?
No. No. I do remember, but this is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that's really, this is gonna get major press. You know, I always want to get major press. You know that. I feel like really insecure. I have to get the press. You know that. So, media. Witness. Stevie Wonder reading Thank you very much.